This podcast is brought to you by Hound. Hound comments on style violations and GitHub pull requests, allowing you and your team to better review and maintain a clean code base. Try it now at houndci.com.
My mic is making me feel like really short right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you standing or are you sitting?
I'm sitting.
Oh, man.
I wonder if this is going to be bad for...
That's bad if you, like, feel short while sitting. That's... Oh, man. that's, like, really bad. That shouldn't be in the Amazon description. Like, you should write a review, Kyle. This mic is great, but I feel really short. If you are self-conscious about your height, you're going to feel even shorter when you're sitting.
Man, did that come through?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. It really didn't. I just, I don't know. I went to a different place.
I like the idea that this is just going to turn into a therapy session on my self-consciousness about my height.
Oh, man. How's your day going?
It's going pretty good. Just a normal day for me.
Yeah.
A bunch of meetings.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been running around all day today. And the context switch can make you feel like insane after like a few hours. You
after
know,
after a few hours of context switching.
Yeah, like every hour it's like a different thing.
Yep. That's why when people ask me like how I'm doing, I'm like, how am I doing? Like, I know how I was doing on that last context,
right?
And the context before that, but like, which answer do you want me to give about like how I'm feeling? I
don't you should know ask how to, them
like, group everything together and be like, over the last five meetings, this is my average.
Yeah. You should just ask them, like, well, how am I doing? Because I just started this. This is like, we're 30 seconds into this new context. So how am I doing? It's like that how's my driving thing. Have you ever called a truck? Like, have you ever called that number on the back of a truck? Like the how's my driving?
No, I always wondered about, like, you must have to be in the passenger seat to want to, like, it makes it so dangerous to have that now, right?
Yes.
I can understand before cell phones, like, okay, you're a passenger, you write it down. But, like, now, do people call that while they're driving?
I have no idea. And that's very dangerous, and it's a trap. Don't do it. You will get pulled over. Can you imagine, like, the cop pulls you over, and you're like, do you know why I pulled you over? Yeah, because the guy in front of me was driving terribly, and I was trying to notify someone. I'm notifying you, sir. Oh, man, I would just go into it. Ugh. Anyway. My God, what is happening right now? It's clearly Friday, and it's, like, towards the end of the day.
The and end we've of... gone off the rails really quickly.
Oh, that was, like, that was record time.
I'll blame me and my dancing.
Okay, that's right.
That no one's going to hear the backstory
right.
on, so it's just going to feel really funny right now. They're playing Die Hard in our WeWork library right now, and I almost skipped this to watch that. This morning, they were playing... like this. Last week, they were doing this on Friday, too, but the movies weren't as good as the ones today for whatever reason. They played Home Alone and Home Alone 2, and I was just like, oh, I could totally skip out on work and watch these, and that would be silly. But that was what I was just thinking about.
Oh, would you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
That's so wonderful. I love that. Growing up, I just missed it. Like, my dad and my brother were really into Die Hard, but I was just young enough to just not really. I'm like, what? I don't know. Explosions and Bruce Willis. I don't know. But I just learned recently that it is a Christmas movie, and I love that so much. Something about it. I just love it. Like, what other movie has, like, Bruce Willis and explosions, and it's for Christmas? Like, I don't... That's, like, a very, very small genre. Like, it's just so good.
Speaking... Yeah, I don't know. I also don't know how they're playing that the lobby of our coworkers.
That's also a good question. Yeah. You know, like, speaking of Christmas and presents, I recently bought myself a present, and I got an iPad Pro with a pencil, and it's been absolutely life-changing. And this is not sponsored by Apple, by the way.
No, it's sponsored by Die Hard.
Yes. This is sponsored by Die Hard with a Vengeance.
You showed me some of your artwork that you've been doing, and it looks phenomenal.
Thanks.
Makes me very, very, very jealous.
Oh, well, what are you jealous about? Like, what part?
I'm jealous of your style, the art style that you've got going on the iPad. I don't know if that may be something interesting to talk about. Does your style change from... So we talked a little bit about this. For me, the drawing with the pencil on the iPad is... There's a texture issue with me. Mm. And it's just not the same.
Yeah.
So those are the... I'm jealous of... I'm also jealous because... Your artwork looks amazing, and I'm jealous of your skill.
Thank you. Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, that you had time to do it, because that's always, like, whenever I see art, I'm like, that's amazing. How did you find time to do that? Yeah, I hear. Oh, man. Well, you know, like, for the texture thing, before I got it, I looked that very exact thing up. Because I've always been, like, a fine artist, and it's always been a struggle for me to find a way to translate what I'm doing on the canvas, on the paper, into like the digital world. I've tried the illustrators, I've tried the Photoshops, but it was never felt natural to me. And I had a Wacom tablet, still didn't really work, and so many options, I didn't know how to customize it or what I was doing. But this is like the first time it's actually translatable. And I looked up before I got it, like some tips and accessories maybe I would need. And one of the first things that came up was a screen protector, anti-glare, like it's matte. So now it's on my screen and it has a little bit of like tooth to it and a little bit of resistance. And that helps immensely. Like I haven't even drawn on it without it. Like I didn't even try. I just like went straight to the screen protector and it's been awesome.
That is a nice little trick.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it beforehand. I was just like, oh, this would be nice for a couple things. I wanted to try and use it for like prototyping because I think it would be a really useful tool for like really rapidly prototyping something. Mm. I have not had the chance to do that.
Oh,
so
that's
if
a
someone
great
out
idea.
There wants to hire me to prototype something for them.
What about ThoughtBot?
Well, that's I haven't had a project. That's who I meant. Hire ThoughtBot and me.
Right.
Just fill out the form online saying that you want to work directly with me on a prototyping project using the iPad.
I heard that hot new podcast.
Boom.
Right. Oh, man. I mean, that's such a great idea, though, to like bring it into like a sprint or something. I don't know.
That was exactly my thought is like instead of... like having a storyboard on the whiteboard or even doing that, like I could quickly throw together, like it wouldn't even be a day of prototyping. It would be like, let's take a photo of the whiteboard with my iPad and I'm going to trace over it and give you a prototype in an hour or whatever it would take.
Right. A prototype.
Probably way underestimating the amount of time it would take.
You're seriously like messing up expectations here, Kyle. I heard it could be done in a half an hour.
Type in an hour.
Right. Just go to the comments. So, you know, I've always done art forever. And it's interesting, like the struggles that come up when you leave school. And when you, because I went, you know, I went to school and I majored in visual arts and communications. And the visual art part of it was great because you had a class, you had like a leader, like a teacher, you had crit sessions, you were constantly making things, putting it in front of people, getting feedback, improving it. And then when you leave that environment and now you're home and now you have other things going on and you lose that sense of community, like it's up to you now to find the time and like the inspiration to keep being creative and keep making art. So I'm always looking for ways that will help promote that sense of creativity. And I think like the fact that there's been such a struggle to get my stuff on the in the digital world, that has been such a barrier for me because I want to be able to share what I do. And what better way than instead of me like, oh my goodness, you should have seen me with my paper portfolio, like riding my bike to a public library in Brooklyn. I'm like taking up the scanner. I'm doing as fast as I can. I get them done, bring them home, and I look in Photoshop, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, this sucks. Like, there's like rainbows where there shouldn't be rainbows. There's like dust. And I'm like, oh, this is just not good. This is just such a pain point. And so having this iPad has been, it's like becoming like open now, like this digital world. It's so cool.
The comment that you made about like having a community around, like I started to think like, because I did the same thing in college, and like even after college, I continued to produce some work, mm-hmm. but I didn't have the same accountability, didn't have the same community around me. So it definitely, it was easy for it to die off. Mm-hmm. And then the times when it has picked back up has been when I've had someone else essentially keeping me accountable for it, whether that's like me thinking that other people are holding me accountable just in my head and me like producing something and shipping it, or like I did a back and forth with another artist in Philly when we were still living in Philly, and that was a ton of fun because he's a big baseball fan, I'm a big baseball fan, so we did a bunch of sketching, and it was just like a 30 minute just do a sketch and post it on Twitter, and we have this trail of like going back and forth. And it was like a lot of fun. And now that I'm talking about it, I don't know why we stopped.
Yeah. I've tried things like that. Oh, I've had art. Like my friends would come over. I just have a friend come over and we just have a bunch of stuff out on the floor and we would just draw stuff for a few hours. And then, you know, I had a friend come over and we did a painting in the afternoon. And like the most recent thing I would do with my friend is we would meet at a bar and, you know, grab a drink and sit in the back with and just kind of hang out and just talk and like have a beer and sketch and stuff. All these things. I have a friend who writes, and I'm like, we should do a back and forth where you write to encourage each other. Like you write a poem and then you send me that poem and I'll draw it, and then you look at my drawing and then write another poem, and then like we can like do this loop. But she sent me a poem and then I already like messed up. I didn't send her a drawing. This like always trying to find ways to, being held accountable is such a, that's such a big thing. Because you don't have deadlines or someone or a grade, you know.
Or a class that you have to present in front of for crit, and like art school crit or design school crit. Like if you don't have your stuff together, like you'll get torn apart.
Yeah.
So just like that drive was helpful for me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it till now.
Yay, this is like therapy. Well, you know, one of the things too, for a while I would hesitate to make anything because I had a really bad block for like a couple years where I was like, I hesitated to making anything because I was like, where is this going to live? Like, is this part of a series? What's the series? I only have one idea, so I can't possibly think of eight more to create a series. Like these kinds of thoughts would like float in and then I would just have no action. And thinking of it in terms of a body of work with a theme was something that really caused me to not make anything. And it was one day I had the realization where I was like, oh my God, no, just do it. Anything, and the unifying thing across all different kinds of subjects or whatever is your style. Like hone in on your style and then everything else will just fall in, you know, naturally. So whether that means I'm drawing an apple or drawing, you know, a dog.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just like that's so hard. It's so hard to do, to just start.
For me, the thing that I do, the hack that I have, and it's weird that I like at this point, I really prefer like really inexpensive, cheap materials. Mm. So like the things that I like to do for drawing is just like, and this actually comes through in our design sprints. I never realized like the correlation there, but like I'll use printer paper or like a really inexpensive sketchbook. Mm. And I love Ticonderoga No. 2 pencils. Like there's nothing fancy about either one of those. For our designs, for instance, it's the same thing except Sharpies. But even when I did do more heavy painting and artwork, it was still like acrylics, which are looked down upon as like not really paint and like really tough charcoal. Mm. And just like So all of the materials I always use are like really not precious, which makes me like that barrier of like, this isn't precious at all. So like, let's just churn stuff out.
I love that. Yeah, I had the kind of opposite problem in a way. Like, I love materials, and so sometimes that would prevent me. I mean, I would definitely get better at just grabbing a thing, grabbing a book, grabbing a pen and going. But sometimes the fact that I have 12 pieces of really nice paper and I want to draw something, because I love the feeling of like the nice heavyweight paper, like the nice pen, like those. Oh, I'm just like, I just like pet it, you know, I'm so weird. But like, just like feeling it, like, hello, my pretty. Just like feeling it and knowing that anything's possible on that page then became absolutely terrifying. But, yeah. And just like, you know, the really interesting observation I've kind of picked up by using the iPad, you know, it is disposable. Like, you have these digital sheets of paper now that aren't anything. They're nothing. Like, I can erase, oh my God, it can go anywhere. There's no, granted, there's space on your iPad, but you can, you know, you can handle that and move things around and stuff. But, you know, the fact that I can just start and not worry about making a mistake. However, making a mistake, that's so important with just actual physical drawing. Like, I realize how dangerous like an undo button can be to the creative process, because there is this element, like when I'm doing sketches with a pen and paper, I make quote unquote mistakes a lot, but I just take those as like opportunities to move in a different direction. With the iPad, you know, if you make a quote unquote mistake or something that you didn't mean to do, you could just erase it and just do what you meant to do, which is also great. But I'm like very aware of embracing those one-off. You know, there are so many times, Kyle, like I've dropped a marker by accident, and I'm just like, okay, curse number one, and then look at what I just did by accident, and then just be like, oh, and then it actually, like, that happened to me one time. I had a drawing, and I just smudged something by accident, and it was in a big white space, and I was like, God, are you serious right now? But I ended up cutting it out, and then I ended up doing like a whole bunch of different mixed media collage stuff from just cutting out this rogue streak that just happened. And that I stumbled upon a whole other way of doing a thing. So it's like embracing them, but I don't know, it's so interesting. Like limitations and like what iPads and digital stuff can and can't do, you know?
Yeah. No, all of that is like, it's super interesting from a psychological perspective. Like, I had the same thing with the paper of like, definitely had nice sheets of paper and was like, I'm going to wait until I know exactly what I want to put down on this. So being like ultra precious,
yes.
Even though like, it's a nice sheet of paper, but still it was like $3 for the sheet. It's not like I couldn't go out and buy another sheet of paper. But for whatever reason, that was like continued to be like I needed to be precious about that space. Whereas like the low grade materials, like it does allow for like happy mistakes to happen. So like if something like you go a little too far in your stroke or like whatever it is that happens. And I think the correlation between that and I feel like design tools is really interesting, because like there's still that paralysis when you open up a blank Photoshop, blank sketch file of like, what am I going to put on this? And there's also the lost opportunity, I feel like, when I jump into HTML and CSS, those happy mistakes very rarely happen. Whereas like, I'll screw something up in Sketch and be like, oh wait, that actually looks really interesting. Like, let's go with this direction a little bit further before I like completely undo it. So it's interesting like how the different tools can allow for being precious. Like, I feel a lot less precious with my HTML and CSS just because it's like text on a page and it's like super easy to remove or like add more stuff. But for whatever reason, like the preciousness of a blank sketch file is still fairly daunting.
Yeah. And with like HTML and CSS, I know that it's gonna change. Like, it's gonna iterate and it's fine. And when it comes to drawing and like the other things, I don't want it to keep changing. Like at some point I want it to just stop. Like I sometimes can't look at art that I've completed because I will go back and be like, okay. That's also a part of the process too. Like sometimes I know very well, like, I'm going to hang this up. It's not really that done, but like anything that sticks out, I'll fix in the next couple of weeks. But you know, one thing I found that helps to kind of remove the preciousness of a thing, and I know I keep talking about drawing, but I think it does apply to like other design tools. But you know, I have my piece of paper, and one night I was so stuck and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And one reason why I don't necessarily like using like scratch stuff is because if I start to really like what I'm doing and I want to keep going with it, then like the thing that I'm ending with is like a piece of printer paper that like, oh man, I wish I did this on my other paper that I like really love. You know what I mean? But it helped to just start drawing what was around me to make it not precious. Like, all right, just draw that plant. You know, it's a plant. Who cares? Like, it's for you. Like, just warm up. One thing design-wise that we signed up for as a team was this daily UI thing to kind of help encourage you to make stuff for Dribbble, which is one of my goals, Kyle. Haven't done any of them yet. They live nicely in a folder, but I'm glad they're there. But they're like these little tiny micro challenges of just like design a login screen, you know, design like a credit card authenticator or something. So those are like nice little ways to... little tiny ways to kind of get started, you know, start thinking in that realm, make it not precious, you know?
Yeah. My go-to is always to draw my hand.
Ooh, so I always, that's good. I like that.
I have lots and lots of sketches of my hand.
Oh, man. That brings me back to, like, class in college. The amount of hands I've drawn in those margins. You'd think I was taking a hand class. No, it wasn't. It was chemistry.
So you were doing, your art homework in chemistry class.
Yeah. Liberal arts all the way. Oh, yeah. Do you have a desire to kind of be more creative and do some creative things like this, like outside of work? Like, do you have the time or like how do you manage that?
I like to think that my creativity comes through my kids.
Oh, that's great.
Because that's where my time goes, is into that. Like, the time that I would spend painting or drawing, most of the time is being spent with them and doing stuff with them and being imaginative with them.
Oh, that's great. Do you guys draw together?
Not really yet.
Cool.
So my four-year-old... it's actually kind of funny. He is very logical and we can already tell. And his daycare has like a different specialty every day. And the day that he has art, a lot of the time they take him to the library because he's not very good with that blank piece of paper. He likes to like know what he's supposed to do with it, which is fairly interesting.
Oh, that is really interesting.
But like once he knows what he's supposed to do, like he's very not very imaginative and very logical. And so he doesn't really enjoy sketching or drawing as much. But I can tell that my youngest son will enjoy doing that thing. So but he's not old enough to like really understand what he's doing.
Oh, that's fun. That's cool. I like that. That was such a huge part of my growing up. I used to draw all the time. And I would draw flowers with, like, faces in them, like, all the time. That was, like, my specialty. Like, big yeah.
It's a cool thing to draw.
Smiley faces, yeah.
What I used to do is my parents had, like, old National Geographics. I don't even know why. But I would cut out the photos of some of the animals and sketch out the animals. I had this giant... sketch pad of like bears and like all sorts of wildlife.
I don't even
know where that is anymore.
What? Oh man, were you a good drawer? Like, was it very like true to the picture? And
yeah, so maybe my son gets his lack of imagination from me because I needed something to reference back to of like, okay, I can draw this picture. Yeah, they were very much like true. This was throughout high school, so they were pretty true to life.
That's cool.
Drawings.
I bet if you gave him a picture of like a bear and be like, draw this, he'd be like, oh, I have a goal. Oh, great.
Yeah, he would definitely be better in a situation like that.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad idea to like sit down and be like, we're going to draw this bear together.
Right. Oh, I just love stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. This is not that random, but it's kind of like a tangent that I watched this documentary a long time ago called My Kid Could Paint That. Have you ever seen that before?
No.
Oh, it was just like kind of about modern art in general. And I followed like this little girl who was making these abstract paintings that were absolutely incredible. So it was just like a documentary about it. And it just kind of ties into the art world in general. And, you know, that general sense of when you're looking at a painting in a museum, that's like a scribble on a white canvas or just a blank canvas. And someone being like, ugh, I could do that. So it's kind of a nod to that. It's really, really interesting. It's a really good documentary. And it's completely unbiased, which is really hard to do. So I recommend it, Kyle. You should watch it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really
definitely
good.
What is the name of it? My Kid Can Do That?
My Kid Could Paint That.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
We've kind of gone on this really long tangent of like,
I know.
Drawing.
I know.
The tangent has become the episode.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just kind of goes back to that theme of just kind of getting your hands dirty and just starting and kind of making little mistakes and kind of growing from there. And it's interesting, like it's such a theme that plays out in so many aspects of our lives, especially in when we're talking to clients and like figuring out products and stuff. You know, that sense of don't show anyone yet. It's not perfect. It's like, well, you're not going to be able to do it. You got to make some mistakes, you know, just that fear around it. If we can manage that in our small scale with our little notebooks and like printer paper, like how do we translate that to like the larger sense of being okay with making like what seems like a much bigger mistake of launching a product before it's done, which is, you know, never done. There it is. There's the bow.
You tied it all very nicely. You're right. Like a lot of the same kinds of process that you would do for sketching totally applies of like ship, iterate, ship, iterate. It reminds me of, I forget where I got it from, but like someone did an experiment with their sculpture class and they mm-hmm. said, this half of the class, you are going to be graded on how many bowls that you ship. So, you know, create as many bowls, you know, spin as many bowls as you can, and, you know, you're going to be graded on the quantity. Mm-hmm. And this half of the class, you're going to be graded on quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you need to create this perfect bowl. And at the end, the half of the class that just cared about quantity, that just, like, building and building and building, had higher quality bowls because they had practiced so much. Instead of trying to perfect one bowl, they were just learning how to make a bowl essentially, and they made the bowl better than the like part of the class that was just like trying to ship essentially one bowl, caring about the quality of that one bowl.
That is such a good example. Like I can't, how is this the first time I've heard this? That's such a good example. That's so great.
Yeah, it's awesome that they had that experience. And probably like some of that is probably like, you know, you could probably get so many research issues with that and biases and whatever,
yeah,
whatever the sample size of that class was. But it's like a really nice way to tie together like how iteration helps you ship a better product or helps you become a better artist or helps you become a better parent, honestly. Like,
yeah,
the more things that you just try and be okay with failing,
mm-hmm,
and learn from that failure, the better you'll be able to do it the next time.
Oh my God, totally. And it's such a concept that's really hard to grasp in the abstract too, when you are sitting for the first time and like meeting each other, and if clients aren't necessarily sure what you mean by iterative or like agile or like those kinds of words, it's really helpful to tie it back to these kinds of real world like little examples and like struggles, like the struggle of the blank piece of paper, you know, mm-hmm, and like the things that you do, or, you know, the joys and frustrations of like having an undo button, you know, being able to, I don't know, that's like very random. I don't know. It's so interesting. I think that's such a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure out where that comes from.
Yeah.
It was in a book, I think.
Cool. We'll put that in the notes, guys.
A book.
Find it yourself.
Definitely recommend that book.
Yeah. What are we, Google? We should just put that in the notes. You have Google, right? That's like the worst thing. I would just be so annoying. Oh, God.
I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You can listen to us at tentative.fm/45. You can tweet at us at tentative.fm. You can email us, hosts@tentative.fm. You can rate us on iTunes, our Twitter account, again, @tentative.fm. I think that's it. Is it, or is it just @tentative?
Oh, Kyle. I don't know. Check the notes or Google it yourself.
If you know where I can find a shorter microphone stand to make me not feel small, send those to kyle@thoughtbot.com. If you have a recording of the Skype and want to send that to me, please do.
The Skype ringtone.
Yeah, the newly designed Skype, which I found out because I had to log into it. The newly designed Skype has a baller ringtone.
Dance inducing
on a Friday afternoon.
Okay, that's great.
And cut.
This podcast was brought to you by ThoughtBot. We are experienced designers and developers who turn your idea into the right product. With local studios in Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Austin, Raleigh, and Washington, D.C., let's build something great together.